Chops TV.
You will be chopped.
Know what that means? Licking my chops.
Today I will show you how to do a karate chop.
Simply saying, no, he doesn't have the chops to do what it takes.
New thing. I'm busting chops.
Welcome to Chops TV, featuring Jennifer Lopez. Now here's Chops.
Big, big week in the Chops household. Lots of things to take care of. We had a plumbing issue. Our furnace is out. We got to figure all that out. So what we decided to do was take in some comfort. Let's put on the TV and make ourselves feel good by watching, I don't know, combined 10 horror movies over the last week. Jayla?
Yeah, I think the term you're looking for is avoidance.
We were just avoiding everything by putting on these movies and just saying, well, if it can get this bad, then maybe things aren't so bad.
Yeah, maybe a little perspective is what we needed in the form of slasher movies.
Well, we didn't watch too many slasher movies. I did watch some slasher movies.
I watched one.
Which slasher movie did you watch?
We'll get to it.
I guess we will get to it. We started with a zombie movie that I was interested in starting even last week, but we didn't get to it in time, so we watched it. And it was a Japanese import over here, because I've seen a lot of South Korean zombie movies, and I really enjoyed them. Once you get over the dub, which works, I think horror movies might be the best for the dubs in general. We'll get to that as we talk about this. But yeah, we watched Zom 100 Bucket List of the Dead. And then I looked into it just a little bit today, and it makes total sense because of the tone of this movie. It's a former manga, right? It's a former manga series.
Okay.
Which kind of makes complete sense because it's real tongue-in-cheek with its action and does some crazy things as the movie goes on. But essentially the premise is zombie apocalypse starts and this guy decides, well, I'm going to start living life to the fullest. I'm going to make a bucket list of things I want to do before I turn into a zombie. And he's trying to make 100 of them. And he goes on his adventure to do that. Real quick, did you know the term bucket list didn't exist before that Morgan Freeman movie?
Apparently. People have been talking about that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard of that before.
And like you always try to go back and be like, no.
Well, because kick the bucket was a term.
So that must be, yeah, that must be like where it comes from. And then everybody just thought, oh, bucket list, kick the bucket, must all go together. Now they just made it up for a movie and it became a phrase people use for all sorts of things.
You know, the verb Forrest Gumped didn't exist before Forrest Gump came out.
Is that, what does it mean to Forrest Gump?
Well, like, you know, you show up to class and, you know, something crazy happens. You're like, oh, you really Forrest Gumped that. Now the kids are saying gumped. Just
are they
that.
Actually? I've never heard this phrase before. I thought you were just
making it up.
Okay. But actually, I mean, the phrase makes sense now that you say it. So there we go. Chops TV can coin that. You really gumped it. That just means you're doing something that seems normal and you end up doing something extraordinary.
Yeah. Have you ever been drafted into the Vietnam War and saved multiple members of your squadron?
And won the Medal of Honor when you still really aren't quite sure what's going on? You're just running back there to save Bubba?
Gumped it.
That's a total gumped it situation. All right. Back to Zom 100. I enjoyed it a lot. I like that they started out with, work sucks. Everybody knows that. Blink-182 said it all those years ago. And this kid, he's fresh-eyed, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed right out of college, in which he was a college football player, which I had to explain to you that Japan actually does play college football.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, every once in a while on like Twitter, somebody will be like, the Japan National Championship is on, and like they'll throw the video out there. But yeah, so former football player finally going into the workforce, and he's really excited to get this going, and they take him out after his first day to say, hey, good job, man. We're happy to have you on the team. And then they tell him to go back to the office, in which case he does like 3 all-nighters, and then he goes through it for the first few months of this job, and he hates it. He's miserable. Then the zombie apocalypse starts, and he decides, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to him, and I'm going to start doing things that I actually want to do, so let's make this list and start doing them, because of his football skills, he's very adept at getting around the zombies and going around Tokyo all that time.
Yeah, his first reaction to the zombie apocalypse was like, thank God I don't have to go to work, which is so refreshingly relatable.
It's literally a sketch in I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
What did they do to us?
What did they do to us?
But I do kind of agree. I would be so mad if I woke up, because I got to work a little early. It's still dark out most of the year. We're definitely in that point now. I'd be so pissed if I made it to work and then found out there was a zombie apocalypse and I didn't even have to go in today. That would be the worst thing. That happened to me once in high school. I went to go do an early radio show. And in between the time I left my house to getting to school, because when I got into school, there were like certain gates that were closed, certain doors that were locked that should be open, because I'd done this show. It was on Friday mornings. I'd done it for a while. And eventually I'm just walking around the halls trying to get to the radio room. And I run into one of the maintenance men. And he's like, hey, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I've got the radio show, so I'm here early. And he says, school's canceled. It's a snow day. And so I drove in the snow to school and then had to drive home in the snow away from school, all because they didn't want anybody else driving to and from school. So,
yeah. Well, here's a good, you know, food for thought. When a zombie
really gumped it.
Yeah, really gumped that one. When a zombie apocalypse happens, do you want to be at home or do you want to be at work? See, if I'm at work, bad. I'm on campus, I'm basically screwed, right? All those little effers are already bitten. They were out at Midway the night before. They've been zombies for hours. I'm screwed. If I'm at home, I'm pretty close to the highway. So at least I can like zip on the highway and try to get to the middle of nowhere, Ohio, fast. You know, pack whatever non-existent food we have in the house and go. You are also kind of close to the highway, but also close to downtown.
But it's a pretty desolate area where I work. I don't know how many people are in that. Probably depends on the time of day, how many people are in that post office building. Mm-hmm. It's a big building, but there's clearly not a ton of people there all the time. The radio station, because the TV station's there. There's people there all hours of the day, but yeah, it fluctuates with how many are there.
Sorry, go ahead.
I will say your plan of getting on the highway, terrible idea. See right there, up on the bookshelf, you can see the zombie survival guide.
Okay.
It's very clear you have not read this book, because that's a terrible idea, especially where we live. We already live west of the city. There's less people the further you go west in the country anyway, so we don't have to go through the city to go west. We've got a pretty good route in Broad Street. In
fact, yeah, but Broad Street's so long.
Yeah, but we're not going to go through the city. We're going to leave. We're going to go west. You just immediately start going west, if that's your plan, to hop into the car. There are other things you can do. I don't think our house is perfectly situated to hold up in. I mean, our back doors are just all glass. That's not a good start.
No.
We could go live in the garage.
No, we can't live in the garage. Well, we do have a fridge there.
See? The fridge might not be working. Oh. I checked it last week and it was pretty iffy on whether or not it's working.
Great. Now the fridge is broken. Add it to the list.
Well, it's not a very important fridge.
Well,
yeah.
this kid is at home when the zombie apocalypse starts, and he had just gotten into a big argument with his friend or whatever. So on the bucket list is also make up with his friend if he's still alive, who is still alive, and in the middle of Kyoto, right? Is he in Kyoto or is he in Tokyo?
I can't remember, because didn't we look it up in that Tokyo Tower? Was like he goes to that Eiffel Tower.
I think so. Yeah.
So I think it was Tokyo.
So he's in Tokyo at like a sex dungeon kind of place, and all the hookers are zombies now.
Yeah, I'm not sure whorehouse sounds any better, so no. Sure, sex dungeon works. Yeah, and so he's stuck in there, so there's like naked zombies and other businessmen, essentially.
Yeah, and they're all zombies, and then he goes in there, kicks some ass, grabs a friend, they go on, they find a girl, he likes girl, they get a van, they find two girls that the guy, as a thank you for saving him and apologizing, makes him dress up as flight attendants. Then he...
But they forgot to check their surroundings because the other guy they let in infected, turning into a zombie, and he...
So now we've got two zombie flight attendants.
Talk about coitus interruptus.
So then we get to a spot where they're supposed to be going to the aquarium. Apparently the aquarium is a safe house, except I fall asleep. Because if there's one thing you need to know about me, it's that sleep takes prevalence to everything else in my life.
Especially because we were watching this one in the afternoon after I had finished my work, and you usually work a little bit later. You got to the point where your work was done, and I always know what's happening. You go, and you sigh, and then I hear the of you closing your laptop. And you were, it was like minutes.
It was immediate.
You were asleep. You were just like, I think I'm going to tap out on this one. You Appa gumped this. Well, I thought, had you stayed up, you would have had the best part of the movie.
I thought I had gotten it. I thought I got it, what I needed to get.
Yeah, I think they did a good job because it's definitely tongue-in-cheek about the zombie. I mean, it's about a guy doing a bucket list during the zombie apocalypse. So I think they hit a good middle ground because a lot of times with horror comedy and zombie comedies which exist, Shaun of the Dead was great at this too, that the zombies, well, you still put them in like funny situations because zombies can be funny because they're just this horde of lifeless bodies that can be thrown around in certain ways, or they're, you know, they shamble around and are confusing. They can be funny, but that doesn't mean each individual zombie has to look childish or like play like that can still be scary. And then you can still ramp up the tension if they do get caught in them. And I thought they had a good balance there of like the zombies were still scary, but they were still doing funny things with them. The way he was riding that motorcycle around with them. I like how he set up and just had that fence on his roof and was just like kind of hanging out with them because he was on the safe side and there was a bunch of zombies over there, but little things like that. So that made me think, okay, they're taking the zombies seriously, but they sometimes go funny. Then you woke up and I was like, you should have seen the end of this. And you're like, oh, how did it end? And what is your recollection of what I said to you? Because you did not believe me at first.
You said they did it. They literally did it. There was a zombie shark. The zombie shark, not just a shark, he ate the zombies and then the legs popped out of its undersection. And it was a walking zombie shark.
Yes, that's pretty much spot on. Yeah, because they're at the aquarium when that whole thing breaks down and there's a bunch of zombies running around. At one point, they jump over people into the shark tank that's open for some reason because they were scuba diving in it. I don't know what was going on in that sense. But yeah, then the shark eats the zombies, becomes a zombie. And when he comes out, they're like, oh, it's okay. He can't get far now that he's out of the water. Yeah, and then all these like 12 legs pop through it and it stands up and the whole last like 25 minutes of the movie is this zombie shark
so
walking around and them trying to save themselves from it. And then the kid, he eventually gets to become a hero because he puts on like some sort of protective scuba suit that has like, you know, Teflon or whatever. So the
damn
zombie
you,
can't
scuba
bite
Steve.
Him. Yeah. And so he gets to act out his superhero stuff. One of the things on his list. And then they go on their way. He adds his two friends now. They get to put things on the list. I would say overall, I want a Zom 200. I would love to see, and if it's a manga, then there has to be tons of issues and tons of source material for it. Yeah, I'd watch another one. It was everything I wanted out of a zombie comedy. And if they came up with the idea for the walking zombie shark, I want to know what else came out of their heads.
Yeah, sure. I don't think I'd watch it.
You wouldn't watch Zom 200 with me?
No, I don't think so.
I think you're going to have to watch it.
I don't think so. I'm okay on that one.
Okay, last thing on this one. Like I was saying, the dubbed over stuff I think really works for horror because it's based on, one, the action of it, but it's also just like the vibes. They're the most vibey movies of probably any movie genre. And so as long as they're hitting those things right, and so like the cinematography is good or the facial expressions on the characters are good because you don't have to dub over your face, I think they totally hit. I've watched over the years I've watched a number of dubbed over horror movies, not all zombie movies. There's been a mix of them with slashers, thrillers, things like that. And they always seem to, it takes a moment, but it doesn't seem that different than when like, I have a hard time if a movie's really British. Understanding them at first. You have to kind of get used to the accent. Same way with the dubbing, because it's weird when the lips and the voices or the lips and the audio don't match up. But eventually you get past it, and I don't mind it at all. So yeah. That's a Chops recommendation. You can watch dubbed over horror movies.
Which I genuinely don't like that real artsy people or people who are into like international film and stuff find that the dub is the lower form of media. You know, subtitles sometimes are just not that accessible. I'm a fast reader, so I can keep up, but for a lot of people, they can't.
Yeah, like I feel like it should be enough of a step that I've decided to expand my mind and watch a foreign film. Now you're telling me I gotta read the entire time? No, not for it. I am totally team dub.
Yeah.
In anything, really.
I say if it gets your media, whether it be anime, film, if it gets it to a larger audience, yeah, do it.
Now, that doesn't mean that people who like subs, that I think they're wrong. I don't go on that side of it. I just think that, yeah, the dub works. A movie that we watched that sort of falls into horror, but a little bit just more of a straight thriller that we went into. This was one that J-Lo was very interested in watching. It's called Fair Play. It's on Netflix, and it's a toxic workplace / toxic relationship thriller. Right? That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. The thing that comes to mind is the Jane Lynch meme from Glee. She goes, "I'm going to create a work environment so toxic."
And they succeed at it. Essentially, a quick synopsis. Two, like, finance bros, one male, one female.
I put the thing in the thing.
Oh, you put an unexpected promotion at a cutthroat hedge fund pushes a young couple's relationship to the brink, threatening to unravel far more than their recent engagement.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So although, not, really, yeah. That's kind of the only thing it unravels. I guess his career.
His career, their family, maybe. Anyway, but you don't get much of that. So, yeah, not spooky, but I thought thriller. It still fits in the month of October.
Hey, fair play for October.
Exactly. Boom.
Boom.
The woman who is in Bridgerton, the first season of Bridgerton, she's in it.
Never?
I don't know. And then the guy that's in a lot of things that you would know his face if you'd seen it.
He's young Han Solo.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he was
that in that movie sucked. I'm sorry.
Solo, a Star Wars
Solo,
story?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever watched that one. Yeah, because I heard so many bad things about it. Like, all the way from, like, pre-production, it was bad.
It was kind of messy. So, yeah, anyway, they're both in it. They're both very good in it. I found it interesting. I thought it was aiming to be a return to the, what's that, like, genre, like...
Kind of like
hot,
the,
suspense.
Yeah, the, like the whatever Fatal Attraction
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
It's not, yeah, it's not like Femme Fatale. It's whatever. I guess Fatal Attraction is kind of the best way to put it. That's the name of that movie. But yeah, that's kind of the idea, is that the relationship is so bad that it's just going to tear apart these two people, not just from each other, but tear apart everything from their lives. The girl, it was a little flip, though, because the woman is kind of the hero, as much as there can be a hero in the story, but she's the main protagonist and the one you're rooting for. Like, they both do wrong things, but the guy does a lot more wrong things.
Yeah, I was curious to that, because the way that I got the film was that it was going to be more of like an even keeled, like, you know, one does something, one retaliates, but both morally ambiguous. This one, she really does seem like we are supposed to, like you said, rooting for her sort of the whole time. Even when she makes mistakes and messes up here and there, it's never as egregious as when he does something to...
Yeah, I mean, her things are like, not super tactful when she gets the promotion at work, when he thinks he's about to get the promotion. Trying to cheer him up, you know, trying to like have sex with him when he's really clearly not into it at the moment, because he's still kind of distressed. But his things are, God, what is he? I mean, I'm trying to remember like one specifically.
Well, he like purposely manipulates her into thinking that he's better at his job than he is, to where she makes a call that impacts this, you know, company's, this investment company's portfolio by the millions, and she gets in a lot of hot water. So she has to get them out of this situation, or both of them are on the chopping block. And he's just like, well, this is what I thought, and blah, 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 and we did it before. And she said, I told you to run the numbers again. I told you to do it, and you did it anyway, and blah, blah, blah.
Then as it escalates, he eventually shows up drunk to work and destroys whatever meeting they're in for whichever client. Then she can't get a hold of him. She can't find him. She can't figure out where he is. He just goes to the engagement party and acts like there's nothing wrong. Yeah. Real psycho mental games he's playing there.
Well, the problem, I think, was that she told him that he was up for this promotion before anyone else knew. It was just like rumors in the office. Turns out she gets the promotion.
Yeah, their plan was to be like power couple, but it flips everything on its head when it's not him in the power position.
And the poor little boy can't handle it.
So, you put thought-provoking final scene. Does this change the movie for you?
Does it change the movie for you?
What? Because she does something that's just a, like, finally, like, crosses the line for sure by... She doesn't stab him. She cuts him.
She cuts him.
And really threatens him.
Threatens him.
And it's a pretty legitimate threat because she's holding the bloody knife that she just cut him with. No, I don't think so. I would say, I mean, while what she did was criminal, he sexually assaulted her. So I don't like to get into the criminal Olympics, but that one is worse because she didn't murder him, which maybe can get to worse. Like, that just takes his life. She just lightly cut his arm. That's, yeah. Hey, fair play.
Eye for an eye, I guess.
I guess that's why the movie's called Fair Play. That
fair play, sense. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I definitely understand where she's coming from in the sense that, like, just, like, total rage mode. You know, you kind of are, once you see someone who you expect, like, they shared a life together, they weren't having an office affair. They were together for two or three years.
They were just hiding it from the office because of how it might look. Right.
Yeah. So when it happens, it's like sort of she's blindsided by his absolute like neglect of her feelings afterwards. And she like expects him to apologize and he doesn't. And in that like total like seeing red moment, like her emotions get the better of her and the tension is so ramped up. But I don't know if I liked it as, like, a final scene.
I also don't know if it was super consistent with her character. I guess the idea of maybe she, like, finally snapped. But I didn't think he was, I don't know. I mean, do you go in there and say, I'm sorry for forcing myself on you in the bathroom last night? Or do you just do, like,
But maybe it's also, like, know. Maybe. Like,
but he needed to at least have that conversation of, like, here's how we are. Like separating, like there needed to be some ground rules laid there. And no, it was not like the best way to approach it. I don't think it would be the recommended way, but she's like, you just don't care about this. And I think at that point it was just like, he was just trying to have a clean cut and get rid of it. And she still felt like she deserved more, which she did.
Because it was embarrassing for him, but he humiliated her.
Well, and he's clearly not going to get better. He's like, my brother set a thing up with his boss, so I'm going to try to start my... Dude, they're not investing in your firm.
Like, no, you're fucking bad at your job. Get over it. Grow up. But also, if it was... If like her arc is supposed to be like a degradation of like her original character, then yeah, I guess I like it more. It kind of just depends on like what the intent is, because as the movie goes on, she starts to do things that aren't in line with like what she says that she wants out of this promotion, and she doesn't want to become like those finance bros. But
yeah, but there's definitely a part of the movie that like the firm they work at is also kind of villainous in all of it and what it does to people and how it just churns people. I mean, that's the point of the guy. He's just getting churned up by it. And they're like, yeah, we just hired him as a favor, but he'll get the picture eventually and just quit.
Yes, but she's also like playing into it by lying about their romance to the boss in that final confrontation scene together and, you know, lying, essentially saying that he stalked her. And, you know, she's becoming the things, essentially just throwing him under the bus and becoming this person that morally I don't think that she would align with before.
When she comes back from the strip club and just like tells that story of like, oh, this guy had this crazy hazing incident at Duke. And the guy correctly is like, that sounds horrible.
That's disgusting.
And yeah, eventually is she turning into that like basically just a completely desensitized person only in the pursuit of the money.
Yeah, and the CEO is like, look, we all do really filthy things with people around here. Just if you step in shit, don't track it into the office. Like, so gross.
Mm-hmm.
And like, is this like sort of her villain origin story, I guess, in a sense? Like, she's gonna become like this like heartless finance woman power broker type, like disregarding of other people's feelings and relationships and stuff like that.
It's a rare instance where the relationship is actually better when they're together. Once it like everything falls apart, obviously that's not better, but like apart, it looks like they're going to be worse off than had they just not been in this cutthroat business world and had found each other in a more normal setting
that
didn't destroy them emotionally and then destroy themselves from the inside out.
Yeah. Real scary stuff, guys.
Question for the listeners. You can always tweet at us at @_ChopsTV. We would like to know this one, or at least J-Lo would.
I'm so curious.
Have you ever dated a coworker? And I guess on top of that, did you hide it, or was that just an open thing? Have you ever dated a coworker, Jen?
I have not ever dated a coworker.
Yeah, I don't think no. I'm trying to think like all my past jobs. I've definitely had like a work crush.
Oh, for sure.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like younger.
Yeah.
And there's somebody who, like, say you're like 18 to 20 and there's somebody who's like 23.
Or 25 and he's the cook in the kitchen and he like wants to like date you. Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah, of course. It happens to every girl who works as a waitress in a restaurant.
Oh, so like, you're saying you got crushed on.
Yeah, like the older guy likes the young waitresses, but never in like a corporate office context.
There's not very many women in my office.
No, unless.
Do you want to work there?
I know, I was going to say Tim Hall in a wig.
I do suppose you kind of work there. You're on this podcast. It's part of the umbrella of the fan family. So.
I do. I've used the bathroom there. I feel like that's basically employment at the Fan.
A lot of the money from the Fan buys things for you. Technically, it's my paycheck, but
I don't like that.
A lot of your paycheck pays for things of mine, but it goes. It's one bucket. We put it both in.
Okay, but then why did you phrase it that a lot of the money that they give me pays for stuff that you want?
All right.
When easily could have been all this money from OSU pays for stuff that you want.
I will take the higher ground here, unlike the guy in Fair Play, and just let everybody know that I am okay with it. J-Lo makes more money than me. It's fine.
I don't think that's true anymore, also.
Well, it depends on what endorsement deals, I guess, are in that month.
Yeah, you really need to get an endorsement for, like, I don't know.
Like a makeup store?
No, I was going to say, either Ulta or something that pays a lot, like men sexual deviant stuff. Not deviant, but you know.
Lion's Den works with us quite a bit.
Okay, so Lion's Den, yeah. Yeah, something that preys on men. Like, do you have no hair? Here's some hair. Do you want this big, large, hard member? Well, here's some pills. Something like that. Something that's really going to bring in the dough.
Okay, and then hopefully it doesn't tear us apart like it did in Fair Play.
Yeah, but don't make all this money and then go have an affair with Tim Hall in a wig.
Stop talking about Tim Hall in a wig.
I like him. I miss him. He's so fun.
All right. Another thing we've sort of been watching, we are an episode behind, and we might be an episode behind for the rest of time. American Horror Story has a new season out. It's called Delicate. Really, of their like core people, kind of just Emma Roberts, who wasn't even in like the first season. It seems like they've kind of...
And the guy. They're the guy who works as the doctor in the hospital.
Okay. But
or the clinic or whatever.
You know, like... Evan Peters isn't there.
Yeah.
What's her name? Jessica Lange.
Well, Evan Peters and Emma Roberts were together for a very long time, so I don't know if he'll ever be in it if she's in it.
And like Sarah Paulson, none of those people.
Tammy.
Are there. Tammy Taylor, I think, is only in the first season.
I know,
but
love her though.
Bring her back.
Bring her back.
Actually, put her in this role because here's the biggest problem with it. Sure, stunt casting gets people excited. I guess it worked on us for a period of time, but it's immediately obvious that Kim Kardashian is just not good enough of an actress to play off this role. I think they thought it might be a little more accessible to her because she's playing like a talent agent, obviously a world.
She's playing her mother. She's just Kris Jenner.
Yeah, that's basically, she's saying you have to do this, 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 and this, and then you'll be the most successful person in the world, which I guess to be fair, kind of, yeah, is what Kris Jenner did with their daughters. But then the story is that Emma Roberts is this like burgeoning, like dramatic actress. She was like a teen actress.
A young
actress.
Ingenue, if you will.
Yes, but she's going into like the, oh, she's actually a very, very talented actress. She's going to win the Oscar. But she also wants to have a kid because she's at the right age for that. And she's trying to do that. And she tries, what's it called?
In vitro fertilization.
IVF. Boom. See, I was right there. I don't want to say the whole word because that's too much. I was just trying to remember the acronym.
Yeah, I
messed up the acronym too.
We definitely know you're not going to get a IVF sponsorship.
Darn. And I'm also not going to be like a doctor anytime soon. So yeah, we're safe. I'll stick with acronyms. IVF. But then she's unsure because it miscarriages. And then she thinks, oh, they're doing this to me, which I mean, that does appear to be what's happening. But I don't know. Maybe if you watch the whole thing, it would come around. It's just not a very good watch. It's,
nothing has happened, really, when you really think about it. Like, all, it's been three episodes of setup for her to, like, get into this cult thing.
And or kind of the same setup each episode.
Each episode, that's what's killing me. It's like, okay, she thinks something's happening. Everyone's telling her that she's crazy.
They're sabotaging.
And then she goes to sleep.
Yeah, some sort of medical procedure, whether or not that's pills yeah. or an ultrasound or whatever. These people are all sabotaging it. And then Kim Kardashian comes in and goes, you just need to get back on the talk show circuit. That
girly,
was my impression.
You're up for an Oscar. You need to get off your ass and work. No one wants to work anymore, basically, is what she's doing.
Yeah. You pointed out, though, there is that one scene where she's cutting cucumbers to make her a snack. It's so funny. She eats. I think it's a comment on, like, you know, starlets starve themselves and stuff. But she's eating cucumber dipped in some sort of homemade Green Goddess dressing. And Kim Kardashian's character is like, isn't it to die for or something like that? And I'm like, it's just a cucumber in dress. Like, it can be good for sure. But I've never seen a veggie tray and grabbed something and dipped it in ranch and been like, oh, my God, where did this come from?
This is decadence. And it's a carrot and hummus.
But yeah, Kim K wanted to prove that she could cut cucumbers because one of her sisters can't.
There was an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Not Keeping Up. Just the Kardashians. Not important. Kendall pulls a cucumber out of this fridge at Kris Jenner's house, which I don't care if you never watch a single episode of the Kardashians in your life. You need to look up Kris Jenner's fridge. It is the most insanely stacked fridge of produce I have ever seen in my life. So she pulls a cucumber out of this fridge and tries to cut it. And she, like, can't cut the cucumber. She's, like, confused as to cut the cucumber. So it was a pretty viral moment last year.
Which is, I mean, it's one of the most straightforward. Because you don't even have to peel it. You can literally just cut a cucumber and eat it.
And chomp it.
There's no core. There's no, I mean, there are seeds, but they're not seeds that you have to get rid of. You don't have to peel it. You can cut it in all sorts of shapes and it's still fine. It is pretty crazy to not even, I would get it. Like, I'm not going to go out there and say that, oh, I've cooked everything that I've ever eaten. But, like, to be at the point where you don't even know how to approach how to cut a cucumber.
Which she says that she has cut a cucumber before. So,
but, I don't believe her.
But why did
cucumber
it,
gate?
But why did it look like that, right? If you're supposed to be in a natural environment and while this show was filming, then why can't you cut a cucumber? And at one point, Kris Jenner says, we'll get the chef to do it, and like calls for the chef who's just in another room somewhere. I don't know what the hell that guy does to cut the cucumber for her.
Well,
and
he's
then
probably
Kendall,
in another kitchen.
Well, then Kendall says, no, Mom, I can cut a cucumber by myself, but she can't.
And for people who are like, I've never watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians, should I? No, this is most scenes. It's just random stuff. It's like people living in a house that are just a little bit confused by normal everyday things, but then get in a Rolls Royce and drive to their private jet.
I'll disagree with you. Okay. Not with the last part, but that is my guilty pleasure show. A lot of people watch Love Island. I tried it. Not really for me. Besides the Golden Bachelor right now, that is my guilty pleasure. On Thursdays, I'm sat. So there's a little bit more to it, especially with Chloe and Tristan and all the, you know, familial stuff. But
I've seen
a little boring.
A few episodes of the Kardashians. I didn't watch much of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but because of UFC,
I was going to say, how much did you retain? What color is she wearing?
In what scene?
That's you know the thing on. You know, when it's like an attractive woman with a guy and then the girl shows him the phone and says, oh, well, what color was her T-shirt?
Red. I'm just guessing.
I don't know. I was making a joke in a hypothetical scenario.
Yeah, but I thought I could still be right. So I took my chance at it.
Red was a crazy color to pick for them. They wear almost exclusively neutrals. If you had said
Beige,
yeah, I've been like, yeah, probably.
Or like
gray,
ripped up vintage band T-shirt.
No, probably not even.
She's wearing one of those in a promo video that keeps coming up on my Twitter feed.
Oh, I don't know which one. See, name them all. Can you name them all?
Can I name them all? Okay. Yeah. There's the matriarch, Chris.
Sure.
And then there's Kim.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's go in order. Courtney, Kim, Chloe.
Okay.
Ooh, I don't know which one is older here. I think Kendall's a little older than Kylie.
Correct.
And then there's Rob. And then Caitlyn Jenner used to be around as well. Is there another boy that I just don't know who it is at all? Or is that everybody?
No, not from the Kardashian side. On the Jenners, you've got like Brody Jenner and stuff. But
okay, so there are some boy Jenners. Yeah, that's maybe where
there are boy Jenners. What about the kids? Do you know any of the kids' names?
Oh, their kids?
Yeah.
Tristan Jr.
No.
I know Northwest.
Yes.
They're all something, not all of them, but there are a number of them that are like nouns that aren't like traditional names. Yeah. Courtney comes to mind as having a daughter.
Fun fact, I was Kim Kardashian one Halloween and my friend Alyssa was Northwest. We put her in a tutu and like her little tutu ballet outfit with a leather jacket and I made a purse out of a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And then I got hair extensions down to my butthole and put on a tight skirt. And then I was Kim Kardashian. It was incredible. What a transformation.
Talk about dating yourself by talking about a very specific Northwest picture that is like 10 years old.
Yes.
The point of the story is you don't need to watch American Horror Story Delicate.
Yeah, Skip.
All right. I am trying to keep up, and I'm still, as long as we watch Halloween Town tonight, which is the plan right now, because, hey, let's actually take it a little bit lighter, have some fun, have some nostalgia. But I am on pace. It is, as of recording this, 10/18, October 18th, I have seen 17 horror or Halloween-themed movies this year. Which ones have I watched since we last had an episode? Let's go over it. On the plane ride to Myrtle Beach last week, I watched Ouija, origin of... Are we saying Ouija or Ouija?
It's Ouija.
Everybody said Ouija for my entire life. Yeah. And over the last like 2 or 3 years, everybody's like, it's Ouija. And it's like, well, if you look at the word, it looks more like Ouija.
Yeah.
But everybody always said Ouija. Ouija, Origin of Evil, the prequel to the original Ouija movie. But this one is actually seen as the better one. So that's why I went with it. I quickly looked up like, do you have to see the first one? They're like, most people were like, nah, you'll still get it because it's way prequel. It's like back in the 70s, whereas the original one is based in modern times. But it's basically a little girl gets possessed and tries to kill everybody because they accidentally, spoiler alerts for Ouija Age of Origin or Origin of Evil, they accidentally do the Ouija board in a graveyard because their house was a former murder house and there's skeletons under it. How were they?
The skeletons came to life. The bones are their money. So are the worms.
Next one I watched also on the plane. You got to be careful watching horror movies on a plane. You know, luckily they were early morning flights, so most people were asleep. But you know what I mean? If you're holding your phone out there and somebody sees
planes?
Out of context a horror movie, there's... But because you've done that, looked around at screens.
Yeah. Just,
they catch your eye and you're like, what is that person?
There is no privacy on planes. Even books now. If you are reading a book on a plane and like a cover catches someone's eye, they will give you judgment with their face. They will. Or it's like on your Kindle too, like the person next to you.
It's very opposite to the subway where people don't want to look at each other want to acknowledge each other at all.
No, in planes, it's crazy. You go into this mode where it's like, if we go down, who is here? So you're taking stock of people, what they're into, just in case you need to tap someone to get you out of the situation alive. So I'm going to learn everything about the person next to me, and that includes what movies they're watching.
Origin of Evil was fine for this, but the next one, because it was like a 20-something slasher flick, they were in college, but you know, kind of a teen slasher flick, and you know what happens there. Killer Book Club. This was originally a Spanish language movie from Spain, and I didn't know that going in, and then it came in, and I was like, is this dubbed over? And it eventually was. It's very colorful, it's very stylized. It definitely lends itself from Scream. It also reminded me of Happy Death Day, especially with the mask of the killer.
I liked Happy Death Day.
Yeah, I did too. I thought this one was okay, but I guess me being derivative by calling it derivative, but I'm okay with that because it was. Now, it was wearing it on its sleeve. It was saying that, yeah, we are definitely inspired by these other movies that you're thinking of. It was just okay. I would say, if you're getting the itch for that, just watch Happy Death Day or just watch Scream instead.
Mm, Yeah, good point.
More likely Scream 2, because this one's at a university. Scream 2's at a university.
Teach Scream 2 more screams. That's the tagline for...
it's not... Do not believe her, everybody out there. She's lying! Next one I watched was... I realized I had watched at least the beginning of it years ago. It's called Housebound. And I think the reason I didn't finish it at that time, because it's a little off, and I couldn't tell if that was just because it's foreign. Is it just lower budget or whatever? This is me 10, 15 years ago, whatever. Had to be 10 or so, because it came out in 2014, I think. So right around 10 years ago. I didn't realize that it was a horror comedy, because it's very like dark and deadpan in its comedy, but it's there. And so when you go into it knowing that, then some of the performance choices just make a lot more sense and like what they're doing in the movie. But basically a girl gets on house arrest and she unravels a mystery of somebody who was murdered in the house previously who she thinks is haunting her. Turns out, guy in the walls. Turns out, guy in the walls didn't even do it. It was the therapist all along or her psychiatrist or whatever who had... It was originally like a halfway house for like troubled youths. And youths. He was a psychiatrist youths. There too. So that's Housebound.
So the guy in the wall was just a guy in the wall.
He had been around before. I think maybe he was one of the troubled youths. But he was also... He was very mechanically... brain, so he was constantly stealing little electronics from them, including her phone. So she kept running around the house because she could hear her phone in the walls, and it was freaking her out. And then eventually she,
Do you think that's where my socks go? Like when you do the laundry and we can't find the other sock?
Is there somebody living in the walls?
You think?
I really wouldn't mind it if they just contributed to the mortgage. That's fine. They seem to stay out of our business except for stealing your socks. Bit weird, but there's worse things.
There are definitely worse things.
If that was the worst thing a roommate ever did, that's a pretty good roommate.
If he was just going to be our friend, you don't have to live in the walls.
And actually, if he's so interested in stealing your socks when I'm doing laundry, hey, buddy, steal a few socks, but do the laundry. Fold all of it. Don't just steal one sock.
Is he cute?
I don't know. Oh, in the movie? No, he lives in the walls. He's all pasty and his eyes are all blacked out because he hasn't gone outside in 20 years.
Oh, he's always lived in the walls.
Yeah, so it goes, this is her parents. So she gets on house arrest and they're doing like a new program where it's like, well, maybe the rehabilitation of being forced to live with her parents will like make her a better citizen. And so she goes back to her childhood home and she has like vague recollections of these things happening as a kid, and then it turns out she actually had interacted with this guy before and he's like sort of in love with her.
Is he nice?
Yeah, he's not.
Well, then why isn't she giving him a chance? Why do all the nice guys always have to finish last?
Hey, at the end they do let him move into the new house with them, I think, presumably still in the walls.
Wait, he moves houses with them?
Yeah, they kind of adopt
in them. The walls still?
I don't know if it's in the walls, but at the end of the movie, there's just like a little stinger where it shows you all the characters who like were the good people and they all lived. Oh, that's great. And then she's like, oh, let's take a picture of everybody together. And she can't find the camera. And she goes, Eugene, which was the name of the boy in the walls. And so presumably he's still in the walls, still stealing electronics. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Oh my God. That is so fucking funny, actually. You know what that reminds me of? Even Stevens, when he goes, beans!
it was very much like that. The other ones I watched, I don't really need to say anything about Friday the 13th, Get Out, or Us. Those are classic movies that most people have seen. I really wanted to watch Get Out and Us again because we had watched Nope within the last year or so. And I was like, okay, I liked Nope, but like, how would I power rank them? At the time, I thought maybe, at time had gone on and it had sat with me that maybe Us passed Get Out. And I think I can't tell if it's just because I'm in the October mood and there's the horror elements are a little more classic in Us, whereas obviously Get Out has all the subtext around it, and it's still great, but it doesn't quite like have the like scary imagery as much as Us with the people with the big the big scissors and they're in the jumpsuits and they're trying to do the Hands Across America. So I think Us might just be ahead of Get Out to make it Us, Get Out, Nope for me.
Us is just that first half is so good. I would say even the first like three quarters is so good.
Then the convolution comes in and it turns into a, you just have to accept it.
Yeah.
You can, it's like a time, like you're talking about time travel. It kind of gets to that point where you're like, no, this is not realistic. This could not actually happen. But if you just say, this is what happened in their world, then you can get past it enough.
Pretty much as soon as the sun comes up, right? And then she goes down into the abandoned mall or whatever. Like, that's where it kind of loses steam for me. And Get Out is just, like, so consistent throughout. That's why I would just put it at number one.
Yeah, and Get Out's, like, action. They don't... It all gets explained through the movie. So they don't have to sit there and explain it to you at the end. Which is what happens, when she goes underground. Because it's a little too confusing. But then they explain it a little too much. And it's like, okay, you could... speed up this, or at least like let me piece it together with just your imagery.
Now, to compare, I think Nope has too much subtext. I think it gets bogged down in that first half, and then the last half of that movie is really great. Like as soon as the blood on the house happens, you're like, oh yeah, this is now we're doing something.
Yeah, that what combines with that scene where all the people at the little western town get eaten, and then it does the blood on the from that western town, like, abduction or feeding, I guess. then it's really good. And then it just goes wild.
Just one thing I have tension, noticed.
Yeah, watching those after watching Get Out and Us, and I've seen Nope, watching those ones again. Jordan Peele, and this makes sense, very into lo-fi sound and video quality. Because in Get Out, it's an old school, like a really old school tube television where he's down in the basement getting explained what procedure's about to happen to him. Us starts with an old commercial of Hands Across America just to let you know that like that's going to happen. And then Nope is like just about like the first moving picture ever. That's part of it. So he's very into that stuff. So yeah, I want to next movie comes out, see you. Okay, where's the lo-fi video that you're definitely going to put in here? Last one I watched this week, a movie called Cadaver, a Norwegian film. So again, another dubbed over one. Might be, besides Get Out and Us, which are really good movies and very high quality and everything. But of the other ones I've listed here, I think it's my favorite of the lot. Or a really good thriller. Enough gore, but not completely gross out stuff. Enough of a mystery that you're kind of sitting there like, ooh, what's going on? It's only 86 minutes as well. I had my suspicions because it came out in 2020. I wondered if it, but like 2020, it might have been too soon, but it felt like it could have been. It had a decently large cast, but they were all in this hotel at once. And I was like, is this a pandemic movie? Where they just got enough people together that we're allowed to test and be together? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but as long as you can get past the dubbing, which I think you can, and I think you should give it a shot, I would recommend Cadaver. It's on Netflix right now.
Sure, but was it as good as the 2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, where the final scene is her standing out of the top of a sunroof in a Tesla, driving itself away as her sister gets decapitated?
It was like a list of modern cliches that you shouldn't put in a movie. And that's what that movie's made out of. It is the only thing I have ever truthfully given an F on my Chops movie reviews on Bishop and Friends. It's so bad. And they're so... like, I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre has just about crossed that river where there are more bad ones than good ones. And that ratio is worse possibly than the Halloween universe, which has a lot of bad ones in there.
Truly, truly bad. I watched that while you were gone, and I wish I hadn't.
You watched Halloween 1978?
I was four. No, not Halloween. I watched Texas Chainsaw. Oh, okay.
Because, we're going to watch Halloween 1978.
No, please, not again.
You have to. It's Halloween.
No, Jen, what's the holiday
called?
No,
what's the holiday called?
It's like this year. And, we usually devote an evening to Hocus Pocus, which is fine. But now we're going to branch out and watch Halloween Town. We neglect some things. Think of all the things that we're neglecting while we watch the not scary Halloween movie.
You're right. We should watch Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers instead. Very, very
good idea. You're sick.
For J-Lo, I'm Chops. This is Chops TV. Please tune in next week as we break down all of the Halloween movies.
No, no, we are going to watch Killers of the Flower Moon, though.
Ooh, that's a little teaser for you. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Chops TV is made possible by people who subscribe to podcasts and viewers like you.